Inside linebacker against Akron this week. Packers back preparing for the season opener at Jacksonville, all the while adjusting to life without Josh Sitton. After being released on Saturday, Sitton signed a 3-year deal with the Bears, was on the practice field yesterday. TJ Lang asked what message the move sends.
Nobody's safe, I guess. I mean, we know just as much as you guys do. The reasonings behind it, I don't know. I don't want to speculate on any of that, but been here 8 years now and one of the most surprising cuts that I've seen. So yeah, I don't really know what to think. I'm just still kind of absorbing the whole thing, but yeah, it's obviously a lot of emotions, and the thing that it's hard to do, you know, right now, it's just so fresh, is to think about it rationally.
Lane Taylor moves into the starting spot at left guard for the Packers. Bill Scott, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Thank you, Billy. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Glenn Klein, in the studio on this tremendous Tuesday morning with my sidekick on these community conversation. He is also our roving reporter. Please welcome back Mr. Mark Eichhorst. Hey, Ike.
Great to be in studio with you, Glenn.
What did you do this weekend?
Well, in addition to going to the Cub game on Saturday, then and
getting your seats upgraded, I might
yes.
add.
Yes, it's a great story. One that I'll be telling for many years. And Saturday, so we went to the Cub game. Sunday and Monday, I put on my roving reporter hat. And on Sunday, I went to Root River Festival. And on Monday, I went out to Labor Fest for a little bit, and then down to the Labor of Love Music Festival down at the festival site on our lakefront.
How was that Root River Fest?
Very interesting. Very nice. If you've ever been to Riverbend Nature Center there on Highway 31, it's by our airport there. Please go there because it's a beautiful, beautiful place. It's on the river. They have kayaking. They have canoeing. And talked with Jim Chambers, who is the chairman of the Root River Council, and I asked him about what was the purpose of this festival.
Well, it's the awareness, it's growing the awareness about our river, and the reason for our community developing here in the first place had to do with the river. And so we're celebrating that, and also the importance of our whole watershed. And how it all fits together. The festival is patterned after the Chautauqua events of a century ago that combined entertainment and education and reverence for the river. I was just in an interfaith worship service, and they were paying homage to our river and this community.
You know, a lot of people, when they think of Racine, they think of Lake Michigan, and it is a beautiful piece of our area, and it's well known. It's won a lot of awards, but boy, Root River is just the same thing, it goes into Lake Michigan, and Root River has a great history behind it, like our lake does. It can be dangerous at times, but it can be also a great tool for education.
That's right. You know, and honestly, I moved here about 16 years ago myself, and it took me a few years to become aware of the Root River myself. And that's really part of our mission, too, is to bring more awareness of the Root River to the community. And we're also looking at other communities around the country, too, that have used the rivers that flow through the community to become sources of redevelopment that have just been had phenomenal successes, and that's really part of our focus.
If you were going to tout our Root River, what would be some of the high points you'd point out to people?
Well, it's our river. It's not huge. It's not deep, but it's still a beautiful river. And the name Racine is actually French for roots, for root. And if you go down, and we have several photographs attesting to it, there's a lot of really interesting root structures along the way. There's a lot of wildlife. This is actually a really important watershed and migration stop for birds going further north, north and south. So it's really important that we keep it healthy. And part of our mission also is to make it more healthy than what it is.
A lot of attention in the media lately of the Waukesha being able to dump their refuge through Root River. Is that something that worries your council?
Yes, it is. And we, along with other water organizations in the community, put together a couple of letters stating exactly what our position is on that, and we'd rather it not be that way. We want to help our neighbors in Waukesha, but we think that there's better ways to do that.
Again, thank you for all your hard work with the Root River Council, and congratulations on a great festival today.
Thank you so much, and thank you for being here.
I did not know that Racine meant roots.
Yep.
That's the name of the team.
Yes.
That's the Racine Roots for the Developmental League team that's coming to Racine. Hopefully coming. Good report, Mark.
Thank you.
He is Mark Eichhorst. This is Glenn Klein on Community Conversation. And he is John Hambrock. He's a nationally syndicated cartoonist who has been a finalist for the National Cartoonist Society Award for Best Newspaper Comic Strip. His comic strip, The Brilliant Mind of Edison Lee, frequently touches on political topics and social commentary. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am well, thank you.
And she is Ann Morse Hambrock. She is the director of the Kenosha Festival of Cartooning. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning.
You guys related?
A little bit.
Have you met? What is your relation?
We just celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary.
Oh, mazel tov. That is wonderful.
I'm only in this business because of her.
Why is that?
And I could spend an hour this morning going through all that.
All right.
She drugged me into cartooning, but I won't do that.
No, give us 60 seconds of it, though.
Well, when we got married, it's interesting. I'll share a little tidbit with Anne. Before we got married, when we were dating, she would interview boyfriends, and she would show them Charles Adams cartoons from her father's books. And if they laughed, they could stay. And if they looked at it and said, I don't get it, she would show them The Door, and that was that. Well, I went
That's
over
sort
and
of
she
a creative telling.
I went over and she pulled out the books and put them in my lap, and I laughed hysterically because I think they're very, very dark and very funny, and that was that. And here we are, 30 years later.
That is an awesome story.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
It's a little creative, but
back in the 50s, my father-in-law used to carry a pack of smokes in his glove compartment, and he would offer his date a cigarette. And if she would take it, he'd never take her out again. I like yours a lot better, Ann.
Yeah.
What is the draw to you to dark humor?
Well, I'm not really into dark humor. At that point, you know, it was funny. If you know Charles Adams, if you've read his cartoons that used to run in the New Yorker, you know there's a subtle darkness to it, but they're very funny. Overly, they're very funny.
Well, good dark humor is funny, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, we have a strip that's running right now called Leo. I don't know if you're familiar with comics, newspaper comics. It's a pantomime strip, sort of on the dark edge.
I was a big Doonesbury guy back in the day.
Well, that can be dark, too.
Right, very much so.
Well, if you're a fan of Doonesbury, we have an original Doonesbury with Gary Trudeau's pencil work at this gallery show at Parkside.
Which is the Kenosha Festival
mm-hmm.
of Cartooning.
Yes.
At Parkside. When is that, and how do you attend?
Well, so there's two shows up right now. So there's a show at Parkside in the Mathis Gallery that's all about editorial cartooning and the 2016 election, and that's where the Doonesbury is. And then there's a second show at the Kenosha Public Museum all about women in cartooning for over the past 100 years. And that both shows run through October. And the festival itself runs September 15th, 16th, and 17th. And that's when several of the artists that are in the show will be in Kenosha meeting their fans, talking about their work.
I bet that is so well attended.
It is pretty well attended.
Now, the festival itself on the 15th, 16th, 17th is at the Kenosha Public Museum, though, is it?
Well, the first night's events on the 15th are out at Parkside.
Okay.
So there will be a gallery reception for that show, followed by a panel discussion on the role of editorial cartooning in a free society. Particularly important, you know, there are cartoonists all around the world who go to jail. Or who die for doing what our cartoonists are paid to do. And so we have 9 Pulitzer Prize winners in this show weighing in on this election and taking a lot of surprising positions. You'll find that there are cartoonists that would have maybe slam dunk supported a certain party in the past, and they're not so much doing that this time. It's been a much trickier election for them to chart.
There's not enough fodder in this campaign for cartoonists, John. Yeah, she is Ann Morris Hamburg. She is the Kenosha Festival of Cartooning Director. And her husband is in here too, the very handsome John Hambrock. He's a nationally syndicated cartoonist. He's been a finalist for the National Cartoonist Society Award. And his comic strip is The Brilliant Mind of Edison Lee. Who's Edison Lee?
Edison is a precocious 10-year-old who likes to get into the muck with the political stuff as much as anybody else. But in a more harmless way. I mean, I don't write stuff like Gary Trudeau. I don't just lay it out there. I sort of subtly present it, and not every day either. So, you know, Edison, he'll deal with politics one day. He'll deal with science another day. He's a very geeky sort of a kid. And loosely based on
you?
My oldest son.
Oh, your oldest son.
And actually my other two children as well.
What are their names?
Catherine and Chris. But it's fun. It's an outlet for me. He's primarily me.
Give the beautiful humans an idea of one of the most recent political cartoons. I know it's a little bit hard on the radio, but describe.
The ones that I have written. Okay.
Yes, recently.
Well, let's see. What did I send off this morning? I have to think about this for a minute.
Well, the one you have in the show is about supporting Trump, the senator.
Okay, and I'm not aware of what that one is.
That was 4 weeks ago. He can't remember what he wrote.
Maybe Anne can help you out on that one.
here's one. Okay, I've got one. It's Edison's in the kitchen. He's making this disgusting, disgusting hamburger.
And why is it disgusting?
Well, I'll explain that. Okay, so the grandfather walks in. He says, "What is that?" And he says, "It's my campaign 2016 burger." Okay. And he says it's a 3-pound beef patty with Limburger cheese smothered in mayo, greasy garlic mayo, greasy bacon, and the grandfather looks at it and says, "That is so disgusting." And Edison replies, "Exactly." And the grandfather says, "Yet I find it so
strangely appealing."
Strangely appealing, you know. And he grabs it and he's getting ready to eat it. And Edison says, "Here, you may want to chase that with a Pepto-Bismol smoothie," and he hands him this drink. And I think that's how we all feel about this. We want to turn away. We've had enough, yet we find ourselves going right back. I watch the NewsHour every night, whether I want to or not, and usually I don't want to, but I'm strangely drawn to it.
It's like a car crash.
It is.
That you drive by. You know, you know you shouldn't look.
Yeah,
you should avert your eyes, but you don't.
It's like the O.J. White Bronco chase. I didn't really want to keep watching that, but I knew the minute I turned it off, something important would happen.
This campaign is just ripe with material for political columnists, for radio talk show hosts, for cartoonists. Did you see what happened yesterday? Hillary had a coughing fit in her campaign. You'll see it. Believe me. She cannot catch herself. I mean, she coughed uncontrollably for 2 minutes. The only thing that she could get out of her mouth was that she's having an allergic reaction to Donald Trump.
Well, I got to tell you, curating this show was a challenge. It was a challenge to find balanced coverage, not because of the opinions of the cartoonists, but because Trump says something cartoon-worthy every day. And she kind of says the same things over and over. And she has had the same scandals dogging her for months and months and months. So there's very seldom anything new with her for you to grab hold of. So they wind up going for the easy meat, which is, what did he say today? What did he say yesterday? We tried as best we could to make sure that it was an even-handed show, that there's just as much coverage for each candidate, and that it isn't just about the two presumptive nominees, but going all the way back to the debates, you know, when there were more people in the race.
You got to do one on Hillary's pantsuits, though. I mean, that is just...
Oh, I wish we did. Nobody did one on those.
How do you not do a pantsuit cartoon?
They didn't.
John, what makes a good cartoonist?
Makes a good cartoonist?
Yeah.
It takes a degree of insanity. Because to do this job, you really have to be crazy. You know, I worked pretty much all weekend to get my stuff for my deadline. But it's a job that I absolutely love, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
It's syndicated. Where does it appear locally?
Kenosha News does not appear in Racine, does not appear in Milwaukee or Chicago.
It's online. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel online comics have it.
But we have some really, really big markets. It appears in Minneapolis Star-Trib, the Orange County We just picked up a newspaper in Mumbai, India, of all places. It's interesting how popular Edison is in India.
Why do you think that is?
I have no idea, and I've never looked into it. Other papers, Houston Chronicle, it just goes on and on. We're lucky. We launched at a time, I've been doing this 10 years. We launched at a time when there were still open markets with newspapers, and that's getting very, very hard to do now.
Other than Edison, who's your favorite cartoon character?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's why I get the big bucks.
I'd have to say Opus from the comic Bloom County. He has sort of an innocent, you know, his sensibility. I'm sort of aligned with Opus. He's innocent in many ways. He's he can be edgy.
What do you think the key is in longevity in cartooning?
To stay on topic. If you run out of stuff to say, and that's what you will hear when a cartoonist quits, he'll just say, I ran out of stuff to say. I think to maintain the longevity in this business, you just have to have a voice. You have to want to keep talking and putting out there what you want to say.
Well, he's just getting going. He's nationally syndicated cartoonist John Hambrook, who's got the cartoon,
The Brilliant Mind of Edison Lee.
The Brilliant Mind of Edison Lee. This is not the brilliant mind known as Glenn Klein. She is Ann Morris of Hambrook of the Kenosha Festival of Cartooning. She's the director. People want to get more information. You have a website. What do you got?
KenoshaCartoonFest.com. And the full schedule of the 3 days of events. You know, we touched on that the first day, Thursday, is at Parkside, but then the other events are all at the Kenosha Public Museum down on the lakefront, down in Kenosha, on Friday and Saturday.
What did you guys do for your 30th anniversary?
We took a road trip.
Where'd you go?
New England.
That's a great trip. It's beautiful up there. Thanks for coming in, you guys. Really appreciate it, and good luck with the cartooning.
Hey, thank you so much. This has been great.
Your radio friend is AM 1400 WRJN, Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee, a Magnum.media station.
On this tremendous Tuesday, your hour of power, where we acknowledge that knowledge is indeed power, follows WRJN covering the world at 11 o'clock.
Pole position, chemical warfare. I'm Michael Toscano. We're entering the final stretch now, and both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton top national.